Call the meeting to order. Roll call vote.
Neubauer.
Here.
Youngberg.
Here.
McGill.
Here.
Reckey.
Here. Okay, in front of you, you've got the agenda for this afternoon's meeting. Do I hear any additions or subtractions to the agenda? Changes? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
A second?
Seconded.
Motion signify approval, or everyone signify by saying aye. Approve the agenda?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. Also in front of you, you have the minutes from our previous meeting of
July 17?
No, July 17.
Yeah.
Like a long time ago. Anyway, do I hear any additions or subtractions to the minutes? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
We have a motion and second. All in favor by signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. All right, due to the fact there's no one else in the room, we'll move on right to our first. Oh, by the way, in front of you, excuse me, we have the finding of fact for CUP 319. Do I hear a motion to approve the findings of fact for CUP 19?
That was the Dakin's Lake cabin.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Seconded.
Motion and second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Now, since there is no one here to make public comments, I guess we'll move on to our hearing, the CUP 0719, the Roland Vet Clinic. Marcus.
All right, so today we're going to talk about the CUP for the Roland Vet Clinic. It's for animal boarding. The property owners are Dr. Garth and Kristen Robinson. The general property location is in section 16 of Township 85, range 23. And current, it's zoned A1 agriculture at the moment. It's also going through a rezoning and process to separate the veterinary clinic from the home that's also on the parcel.
The Board of Supervisors approved the first reading of the rezoning request yesterday.
Okay, so where the stars on the map is where the vet clinic is. And then there's the city of Roland. So the western half of this parcel is what was included in that rezoning to the A2 agribusiness district. The east side is where the home is. So this veterinary clinic was established in 1996. The property originally had a barn, which is still there, and then a hog building, which also remains on the property. The barn is used for treating of large animals, which Dr. Robinson is a specialist of. The hog house that's still there is just used for storage. There are dog runs currently on the property on the north side of the veterinary clinic, which is screened from view from pretty much every direction except a very small portion on the southwestern side towards 130th Street. In 2002, the original owners added on to this to create the veterinary clinic. In 2004, there's a sign permit, and then an additional steel utility building containing the clinic was constructed in 2007. The addition was for 20 indoor kennels for animal boarding. There's 11 outdoor kennels that are linked to, that go in between outside and inside, so the dogs can come and go as they allow them to. So from the assessor's records, the fence that has been there was installed in 2008. That handles both the patient dogs as well as the current boarded dogs. It's not in currently in compliance. However, the property owners agreed to put in a new fence that's further on down to make that in compliance for the boarded dogs, which due to our regulations have to be at least 50 feet from the property line, and without the fence it doesn't quite meet that. So it went from the home business, and now the rezoning is part of it growing larger than what our home business permits can allow. They have 4 full-time staff members and 6 part-time staff members. On average, the clinic is seeing 18 clients between the veterinary and the boarding a day. The waste from the animals is cleaned up daily, and Shitty provides garbage service to them once a week. The current veterinarian, Dr. Robinson, is small and large animal veterinary. He specializes in some things that are unique, and the closest places that can offer some of the similar things are in Hubbard, Melbourne, Jefferson, and the Iowa State University. So the need for the service in the county is there. So the property currently has a gravel circular driveway. It helps with loading and unloading the large animals. Also keeps traffic flowing so that as someone's leaving the property, they can see both directions onto the road. No one's having to back across to 130th. There is no additional site improvements aside from that fence that we requested that they added, proposed here. The adjacent land uses, to the north there's a 34.4 acre parcel that's in rural crop production. To the northeast, another 40 acre parcel, row crop production, and Christmas trees. Southeast is row crop production, and generally south is another row crop production. Predominantly all ag uses around. There is a turkey confinement area within a quarter mile.
Yeah, to the west.
Quarter mile to the west of where this is. The nearest dwelling is 600 feet to the southeast of the vet clinic. So there's their new sign. They use the existing sign, just put in new panels. When we were there, we checked to make sure it wasn't lit. It is not lit. So facing north, there's the residence on the property. Facing to the east towards the city of Roland. South across the street, facing west, there's the barn, which is where large animals are treated. And then there's the clinic. To the left of that, on that picture, you can see some of the kennels that can go from inside and outside. They just pull the slides up and then the dogs can come in and out there. As you can see, that's what it looks like from the inside with those kennels that are able to go out. They can support cats as well. And then this is where the large dog kennels are.
There's 4 of those.
Yeah, there's 4 of the large kennels. So this is the dog run. So currently they're both patients and boarded dogs can use the entire area. In order to meet our regulation, this building is exactly 50 feet off of the property line, so they're gonna put a fence along that section so that the patient dogs can be closer, but the boarded dogs have to be on the south of that fence line. And those are the back 5 of the 11 that can go in and out. It's kind of dead center with that line, that 50-foot line for that new fence. So for the standards of approval for the CUP, compatibility, animal boarding is compatible with the A2 zoning district, which is what this area is being rezoned to. The property is largely surrounded by large agriculture parcels in production. The closest dwelling is 600 feet to the southeast across 130th Street. And that new fence will meet that compatibility of the required 50-foot setback. As far as transition goes, the dog run area is majority screened from any view off the property. There's also a tree line to the north of the property that extends the whole way, acting as a buffer. And you can only see 6 of the 11 kennels from 130th Street. As far as traffic goes, again, with that established loop drive that they have there, it makes efficient use of traffic flow. There is a pedestrian sidewalk on the property for pedestrians so that they're not really in any traffic areas. They currently see an average of 16 patients a day, and that number is not expected to increase because this use has already been in use. This is just bringing them into compliance from when they took over the property. Parking goes, the clinic has 67 parking stalls. They are going to add an ADA signage to the parking space closest to the building. And this meets the required standards. There's no, the sign isn't within compliance. They have removed all the lighting, so that is completely within compliance again. As far as environmental protection, don't expect any excessive noise, vibration, dust, all those things. The animal pens are cleaned up every day, as well as the dog run outside, and shitty garbage providing garbage service to the property once a week. Your normal analysis that if the board doesn't think it meets these, you can deny. As far as public goes, public notice were mailed on July 24th within a quarter mile. We did have one person come in when they noticed the sign for the rezoning part, which isn't part of this, but he did come in and ask because he was concerned that his property was being rezoned. We just don't know that that's not how that works. Planning and zoning did not have any comments for us when we presented this 2 weeks ago. So then Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval with a 4-0 vote of the CUP with the following condition: that the Roland Veterinary Clinic must request and obtain a conditional use permit modification before any additional kennels may be added. So we want to know what's happening there. And then the board can also consider any of those following alternatives if you so wish.
And the Planning and Zoning Commission is recommending?
Number two, the with condition, the one condition.
Board, any questions for staff?
So I have a question concerning, he's a veterinarian and has been doing that. We've had several kennel/boarding applications this year. So does he have a permit to be a boarding kennel also? Or
yes, they have
you've checked all that kind of protocol?
Yes.
Okay. So they're meeting all the state requirements for being a veterinarian place and a dog overnight kennel.
There's a copy.
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't see that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Great. That was my question.
So I have a question.
Yep.
So I'm not 100% clear. Can you go over the fences again?
Yeah.
And then at one point it sounded like there was going to be a fence where dogs could be outside of and somewhere.
Okay. So right along this edge is 50 feet off the property line. They need to.
Are we looking north now?
East.
Looking east?
Yep, so you're on the property looking east across the property. This is back behind the veterinary clinic.
Oh, okay.
To the left of the screen.
Okay.
So this is directly 50 feet off of the north property line.
Okay.
So they need to put in another fence right here, because this whole area is all fenced in, but they need to add an additional fence. They can put a gate there so they can allow the patient dogs to run anywhere. But as far as the boarded dogs, they have to be south of that fence that they would install. So it'd be a fence inside of a fence.
Our regulation states that
for boarding of animals, they have to be 50 feet off the property line. So that meets that requirement.
And you probably wouldn't want the patient dogs being mixing with boarding dogs.
No.
Yeah. Right.
And the setback applies to the structure as well as the fenced run.
Mm-hmm.
So that same 50-foot rule technically doesn't apply to the patient dog.
Right.
Okay.
How come?
Boarded dogs versus the veterinary patient dogs, there's a difference in
it's part of the care that the doctors are providing.
So my guess would be the boarded dogs are there 24/7, mm-hmm. So they want a bigger buffer from the neighbors, if there were neighbors. If you're just the patient dogs are probably coming and going for the most part.
Yeah, it's probably a short stay.
At least a short stay if they're surgery or something. Who knows?
I don't know.
The trends are less.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, we'll close and debate. Okay. Board, what would you like to do?
Conditional use is regarding any additional kennels, correct?
So the numbers, just so we can talk about those, it does say 40 dogs, but that's only if the 20. It's a maximum only if they are from the same household, then they can double, they can have two in one kennel if the owners request it. So just like if you have two dogs, you want them to be together because that's what they're used to. But that's only if the owner requests. And then four cats is their max, and two horses.
So how many dogs did you say?
At most, it would be 40 if they were all related dogs and the families were wanting them to be together.
So you're telling me they've got right now 20 kennels?
Yes. So anything additional, that's what the condition is any additional kennels, we need to be notified so that you guys can make the decision.
We have to submit a new condition.
Mm-hmm. Take us back to our options, please.
I would move that we approve then number 2, CUP07-19 with conditions.
I have a motion out of Brecky. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor, roll call vote.
Brecky.
Aye.
Neubauer.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Looks like a clean setup.
Yeah, it does.
An hour before we got there, and which I think was kind of the thing. And it was clean. There was no I didn't notice anything weird, you know. There was
the dogs are relaxed.
Right.
Yeah, and for the most state
so
comes
going
in
through at the kennel it's going to hit his practice so.
Yeah most of the dogs they're just kind of hanging out, so
even like at a glance it looks like the property is well cared for.
Yes,
you know, so probably if he cares that much about his property, right,
It's kind of, well, it comes back to his practice is what it, you know, right. It all reflects on his practice, so.
Any other staff, anything else for the board?
I do have a few announcements. The first one is kind of a sad one. I need to let you know that Lynn Scarlett has resigned her position on the Board of Adjustment. She has resigned her position as the Executive Director, Nevada Chamber of Commerce, and she took a position in Ames, and she's not able to, with her new hours, she's not able to continue on as a Board of Adjustment member. But from a staff perspective, she's going to be missed. I think she had a good grasp of the responsibility and the role of the Board of Adjustment. We've communicated with the board staff this vacancy, and we have a 90-day posting requirement so that the wheels are in motion on that to get that position reappointed or appoint to look into an appointment for that position. So it's probably going to take us into December, likely, that we'll have a new position. But because Lynn was the vice chair on the agenda for next month, which will be September 18th, we should probably elect a vice chair, or the board should elect a vice chair to replace her position. The September 18th meeting, we will for sure have a conditional use permit for a proposed tower at the animal control building, which is on Lincoln Highway, west of town here. They're proposing to build a tower for communications for their internet service to improve their connections.
Yeah.
And Marcus will be working on that project, and he'll deliver the recommendation to the Board of Adjustment. So that one goes to the Board of, or the Planning and Zoning Commission, and then it'll come to the Board of Adjustment. The Board of Supervisors approved a stormwater and erosion control ordinance amendment that staff has been working on. Amelia Schoeneman, one of our planners, has been working on this project for about 2 years. And so there's been a lot involved in that. We had a list of stakeholders, 30 some interested people, environmentalists, engineers, developers, builders. And then in April, we put together a focus group to help us kind of tweak the amendment, and we received some really good input. And when we took it to the Planning and Zoning Commission, we had a couple of engineers that were at the meeting offering some really good suggestions. We had like 12 comments that were made. We thought we were ready for action from the Planning and Zoning Commission. I guess that was in June. But based on the comments, the feedback that we got, we ended up, the item was deferred. So we took in the comments that were provided and kind of went back to the drawing board. The ordinance amendment that we have is rooted similarly to other cities and counties in the state that have similar regulations, including the city of Ames. We received a lot of good feedback from those city staff people. But the Board of Supervisors approved the amendment. Erosion control, for the most part, addresses improvements to disturbed area less than an acre, and their requirements that the general public can do on their own. And then the stormwater provisions really involve improvements that are greater than an acre, and also include developments over 4 acres. So we're looking at like major subdivision developments. And so with that, it requires a licensed professional, Iowa licensed professional engineer, to design these stormwater improvements. So we're happy to have our first reading of the ordinance approved. And so that'll be back before the Board of Supervisors again next Tuesday. But state law requires 3 considerations of an ordinance. And then the Board of Supervisors also approved the extension of our expansion of our internship program. Currently it's offered for the summer months for the most part, mid-May through usually the middle of August. And so with our activity, we were able to demonstrate a need to have an intern throughout the year. So probably 10 to 15 hours in the fall and the spring. So they're very supportive of that. So we're looking forward to having an intern all year long. So that'll be very helpful for staff, which translates into better service to the general public. Any questions on any of that?
Wasn't that supposed to get our approval?
for which one, Randy? If you're interested, like in the stormwater and erosion control, I think I'd have Amelia, since she worked on it. She's very knowledgeable about it. We could kind of provide some training if you're interested in the nuances of it. It's in terms of volume, there it's you know, a few pages really, but
it doesn't change any of the flood maps or anything of that nature.
No.
It's just how that water's handled.
Right. So that.
Yeah. And making it more clear, it was all about clarity, because right now our erosion control provisions talk about certain practices that can be applied with setback information. But the stormwater just references that proposed improvements need to meet the Iowa Stormwater Management Manual best practices. And if you go to that information, it's like 18 chapters of a lot of technical information. And so what most of the cities and counties have done that, you know, that we learned about is they extracted information from the Iowa Stormwater Management Manual and other resources and put it in the actual ordinance so that it's very clear about what the standards are. So we're hoping going forward that, you know, we'll be able to track much better. We had, you know, what prompted it was just certain things that had come up that our current ordinance didn't really effectively address. And, you know, and several of these were based on complaints that we got. And so now we think we have the tools to address these situations a lot better.
Does FEMA play any part of this as far as floodplain altering, you know, somebody's partially on a floodplain and partially not? I mean, do they then step, I mean, do you have to deal with them on that? Or?
That's probably like a separate issue. You know, if you have a proposed improvement that's within a floodplain, we have a floodplain permit application review process, and that's a separate chapter 80 of the county's ordinances that would apply. And with that, we're also going through a review process of looking at new maps, which we've done most of that. We've had our open houses. The new maps are supposed to be adopted the fall of next year. And in most cases, the data is much better than it was in 08 or 09 when they put the information together. And so a lot of these areas are shrinking, because the information is more clear. So, anything else?
Don't think so.
Will we adjourn?
So moved. For a second?
Yes, I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
I'll tell you those flood maps.